This is Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. This episode of Plans, Hope, and a Future is sponsored by Jenny Becknell. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Plans, Hope, and a Future. My name is Jennifer Osborne, and I am so excited to be with you here on this day, on December 4th. I'm excited to be able to, just kind of share you a little bit about where I am, what my thoughts are, future plans for me and ministry, and all the great things that God is doing. I know I've taken a little bit of a break here, and it's been a weird journey since July, and I know a lot of you kind of go through the same sorts of things, but in July, I went from a part-time job to a full-time job, totally rocked my world, totally turned everything upside down as far as what I was doing, how I was managing my creative time, how I was managing my podcast time, all of the things. So it was really just a huge, huge struggle. And I finally feel like in December that my life is settling, that I'm kind of getting into that rhythm, and I really like that. And I am starting to create again, and that is an exciting thing. I'm totally grateful for all of you who follow me and follow my podcast and send me just great comments. I love you guys so much. I could not do this podcast without you and your support. And I want to give a shout out to my sponsor, Jenny Becknell. Thank you, Jenny, for supporting me, supporting the podcast for all of these years that you have done that through all of its iterations. I really appreciate and love you. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about grief. I kind of started the year in a very weird spot, grieving a super close friendship that I had. And I went through like all of the things that you do in grief, right? You do the question like, why did this happen, God? Why did I lose a friendship? What happened? I wasn't expecting it. How did this kind of arrive at this spot? And then I went through like just the periods of anger. And, I was angry at the person. I was angry at the situation. I was trying to process my confusion because this was someone I was super close with. And then all of a sudden, they quit communicating. They quit wanting to support me and the things that I was doing. They just disappeared. And that was really confusing. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. But when you do, and you're in those spots of confusion and not knowing, and it throws you in a super grief, you can ask God a lot of those questions, and you tend to internalize and look at yourself and say, what did I do? Who am I? Am I not likable? How could I lose someone I was so close to? What did I do? You wrestle through, do I make these huge, huge efforts, even after I have made efforts to reconnect? And it can be hard to arrive at a space of just accepting the situation, like getting through that grieving process, getting through those questions with God. And what really helped me is I went back into counseling specifically for grieving the loss of this relationship because I was so confused as to what happened. And what I found in some spaces, in some Christian circles, is that Christians are not really comfortable with hard emotions. And I have said that plenty of times on this podcast. They are not comfortable with the questions about grief. They are not comfortable with the questions of anger at God or feelings of anger at God, I should say. They want you to be what I call a Stepford Christian, this cookie cutter of we all smile, we never say anything that is confrontational. We don't ever express that we are in deep grief. We don't ever express that we have doubts or any of those things. And I'm just so encouraged by the Psalms and David. David was one of those that when he was in deep grief, when he was really, really wrestling through things, he did not pull any punches. He laid it all out before God and said, hey, I'm crying so much, my bed is just saturated with tears. I'm so angry, Lord. Give me the power to just strike down my foes. You know, he went through all of the stuff. But the beautiful thing about where he landed was he landed back squarely with God, right? He had this big but moment. But God. I love that phrase, but God. I see that a lot. It's awesome. But he got to the but God, like, okay, God, I've got all of these things, and you're not scared of my emotions. You're not scared of my anger, my grief, all of my feelings. And you are still Lord, and you are still on the throne. And I praise you because you are holy, and you are awesome, and you are wonderful. That, my friends, super encourages me to be completely real with where I am. And where I go to church, the pastor actually just preached a sermon on being real before God, even in your prayer life, that God knows where you are. And even if you hide it in how you're praying to God, God knows. He is not fooled by your different words to him. Like, I'm okay, I'm fine, you're fine, everything's fine kind of thing. And what he was trying to say is God knows it, but God wants our authenticity. God wants all of our stuff. God wants all of us, right? He sent his son, Jesus, to die for us, for our full justification by faith. And he values every part of who we are, all of our feelings, all of our struggles, all of the stuff that we have rolling around in our head. And truly, friends, the only way you can really unravel that is with God and with his word and really digging in. So to shift a little bit, what has helped me through this whole grieving process and the super darkness that I've really wrestled with? Well, I discovered a beautiful book. And what's interesting is I'd had this book on my bookshelf for probably 3 years, intending to read it, never got to it, and at just the perfect moment, here this book was, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to sit down and read it. And when you look at it, it is not an exceptionally long book, but it is a really good one. It's called When the Darkness Will Not Lift, and it's by John Piper. I will put a link to the show in the show notes for the book so you can find it. But this book was super instrumental in getting me to a place where I could look at the grief and the darkness that I was struggling with. And when I say darkness, truly it's just depression that I was really wrestling with. And it helped me get recentered and refixed to look at the truths of God in a different way to help me walk through my depression. And friends, just as a fun side note, if you are struggling with depression and you're struggling with grief, the only way really to resolve it is to walk through it. I know so many people that try to deny their feelings and depression and what have you, and just pretend that things are great, and they never really resolve the issues like, what are the root causes of the depression? What are the root causes of the grief? And you truly have to walk through it. Walk through it with a trusted friend, put people around you that can encourage you and are not afraid of your authenticity. If you have friends that are afraid of your authenticity and your true feelings of where you are, you don't have real friends. I'm just going to say that. Those are people that are surface friends. They are not your, I don't want to say ride or die because I don't like that expression, but they are your true blue friends who are going to stand beside you. So that is something to remember when you're thinking about your friendships. One of the things that John Piper talks about in his book, in the introduction, he said, Faith Alone in the Fight for Joy was the title of it. And it delves into saying, you know, we all go through some of this kind of darkness at different times in our life, whether it is just a general depression, clinical depression, whether it is grief over loss, or whatever it is that has caused your darkness. We all tend to go through it at some point in time, but that we literally have to fight for joy. That was an interesting concept for me, that you had to fight for joy, because I had always thought of joy as this kind of, it just kind of happens to you by osmosis, which sounds kind of funny, and that it just kind of happens. I've had people tell me, oh, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You should be joyful. You should just act joyful. You should pretend joyful, and it will just happen. And that is not the case. And that's not authentic, by the way. But he talks about fighting for joy. And he talks about that joy really does originate out of the concept of justification by faith. And I really marinated on that over the weeks and weeks that I read this book. And it's, like I said, a very small book. So it wasn't hard to read, but it took me a long time to really absorb everything he was saying. But the one main point in the introduction that I thought was so awesome is he said, one of the most important is learning to fight for joy like a justified sinner. I call this gutsy guilt. Every embattled saint has learned the secret, even if they never call it by that name. And in that introduction, he was saying that you really have to struggle to find your joy sometimes. It's not a conjuring. It's not a pretending. It is a fight for joy. And it sometimes can feel like you're not arriving at that spot, but that it starts in the justification by faith. And I had to really dig into, like, okay, what does justification by faith mean? And how does that really drive my joy? And basically, it just comes down to the base of who we are as believers, what we should always be operating out of. And that is, we have been fully justified, meaning we are fully accepted, fully loved, completely loved. Like, God can't love us anymore or any less than he loves us right at this moment. And he has made a way into relationship with him through Jesus. We cannot earn it. We cannot pretend it. We cannot, by our works and our church, have it. We are not justified through any of that. We are justified by faith in Jesus, in him alone, and nothing else. God made the way through Jesus, and that is something that should be our base at how we operate everything else, right? That was even the first commandment, to love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And that is because we have been fully reconciled to God through Jesus. There's nothing else. If you are working in your church or doing the things that you're doing, and you feel like that proves your relationship with Jesus, I mean, good works are great. I'm not saying not to do good works, but they don't justify you. If you don't do anything in your church for weeks and weeks and weeks, you are still fully justified by Jesus. You are still fully accepted by him. God has had made that way for you. And that is the basis for the joy that we find in our walk through these dark times, through the struggles of grief, and even the depression that is caused by sin, where you've committed sin and you are in this grieving period of regret and sorrow over the fact that you did the things that you did. Like, it is still starting from, I am fully justified by faith. And I'll get more into this book as I do some more podcasting, but it was super instrumental for me to begin to look at my depression and my struggle in a different way, and my grief and my loss of someone that I trusted with everything I had, all of my vulnerability, all of my true feelings about whatever, any questions I might have had about God. And to lose that was just the most devastating thing. I had so many questions. I internalized so much of it at the loss of that. And I still am honestly wrestling through it. Still grieving it, but I'm better because I know what my base is. My base is Jesus, him alone. Before I end, I wanted to point out another book that I'm actually currently reading. I'm not through it. I literally have to take this a little bit at a time, but it's called Spiritual Depression. Its Causes and Cures. It was written by D. Martin Lloyd-Jones. I will also put a link to that book in the show notes. But this is a series of sermons that Lloyd-Jones put out over the course of I don't know how many months. And someone transcribed his sermons as he gave them. And it was published in this book. And it talks about all of the deep things of spiritual depression. And I was deeply encouraged by this book, and am being deeply encouraged by this book, I should say. It was referenced by John Piper when he had written When the Darkness Will Not Lift, and he had quoted some stuff in it, so I thought I would get this book. And I was actually pretty surprised at how heavy and dense this book was as far as the content. And it's one of those books, it's like a C.S. Lewis. I love C.S. Lewis, but as I have read him, I have to take some of his stuff slowly because I have to like read so much and absorb it. I can't just read it in like one setting. Some people are brilliant that way that they can just sit and read some of these books in one setting. I am not that talented. I have to kind of take it slow and absorb it and really dig into it. So that's the same with this book from Lloyd-Jones, that I have to just absorb it, take it slowly. Sometimes I'll read three pages at a time, and I will just admit that also when I'm in a chapter, it's funny to admit this, but when I'm in a chapter, I will literally go to the end of the chapter and I will put a one on the last page and I will count backwards to the first page, and first page might be page 10. And it just it's a visual cue for me to help me keep going, to know, okay, I've got six pages left in this chapter. That's how I have to try to lock myself in to stay with some of this stuff, because it's so meaty. It's so good. And I had no idea who this gentleman was before it was recommended by John Piper, or his book was recommended by John Piper, but it's some really great stuff. And I just highly recommend it to you. So I'm going to leave you in this moment, and I've just kind of recommitted to this podcast and some of my ramblings. Hopefully I can get some more guests on board. I'm just super grateful for Jen Murphy and Susan Wiesman for being on my podcast the last couple of episodes. Those are wonderful women. I hope to have more wonderful women for you and more stories of hope. And I have truly invested in this more. I had to kind of walk through that struggle time, right, of readjusting to a full-time job, to working, you know, 4 10-hour days and having one day off to do like my side gig and some of the other stuff. So it was a super, super big transition. And now I feel renewed and ready to do this thing, ready to jump in, ready to share my heart. I know I was encouraged to just do that. That people had an interest in some of my funny insights about things. And I just want to leave you with, you are fully loved by God right where you are, right in this moment. You cannot be loved any more than you are. You cannot be loved any less than you are right in this moment. So when you are thinking about yourself, and if you feel bad about yourself for any reason, I don't know, maybe that you ate that cupcake you shouldn't have eaten this morning, or maybe you feel bad about yelling at someone in your car as you're driving, that kind of silent road rage. Well, not silent. I mean, it's not silent to you, but I mean, you're not verbally putting it out there. Whatever it is that has put you in a moment of self-doubt, you know, self-condemnation, self-judgment, or judgment of others. God cannot love you any more than He loves you right in this moment. And I challenge you to just rest in that love, and that as you've repented of any sin you might have done, or you're just being vulnerable to God, to where you are and admitting some really hard feelings, God completely loves and accepts you right where you are. I want you to hear that and really get that in your soul. You are fully loved by God right now, right in this moment. And He, if you don't know Him, He's saying, come to Me. I have given Jesus to you as a way for your justification, your salvation. And I love you completely, and I want all of you, all of your scars, all of your brokenness, all of your pain. I want all of you, and I want all of your authenticity. All right, friends, I love you so much. I will continue to just speak on some stuff. I really want to dig into this when the darkness will not lift and the spiritual depression, and just talking about darkness and spiritual places, which is another podcast episode, but that is also something I kind of walk through simultaneously with this. I love you, friends. I love you, love you, love you. I can't say it enough. I will talk to you soon. Thanks. You've been listening to the Plans, Hope, and a Future podcast with Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2025 by Parable Road, LLC.